further and further back, which is a good sign. It means there must be more and more of you, which is great. Sorry? I should be, yeah. It should have a red light on, shouldn't it? You can hear. This has gone off, though, so... Okay, good. We'll have a look at that for a minute. Looking good at 60, eh? Wow. Think they might be a little bit more than 60. I did wonder how many of you were here 60 years ago at the founding of this great part of God's body. Anybody here 60 years ago? One, two, three, four. Not a lot. Six, seven, eight. That's great. Well, well done you for sticking. Have you been here every Sunday since? Looking good at 60. Well, that's a compliment to me. I don't know whether it is to you or not, but what can you see there? What are they? Chelsea pensioners. Yeah, if you look very closely, you can see they're wearing their medals. They've got their brass buttons all the way down. They bright red coats, haven't they? Shoes all polished. Shall I come and check yours? And what were they? They were part of an army, weren't they? But they're now looking good at 80, 90, whatever. Looking good. So we can recognize them from their uniform. And their uniform tells us a lot about them, doesn't it? It tells us they're proud. They have a great history. They've got come on a long journey, but there they are. They're still together, these people. Now let's see where we go next. Not that one. Oh, there we are. What about them? Who are they? What sort of soldiers? Well, yeah, they're actually the SAS. He who dares wins. They're dressed rather differently, aren't they? They look very differently. Sorry, the pictures aren't that clear from this distance, are they? But they've got their guns. They're walking through devastated territory. They're there to do a job. They're part of an army, and they're dressed accordingly. They've got their helmets, their boots, their khaki uniforms, so they won't stand out, so they won't get shot so easily. Can you all hear me at the back?
Yeah.
It's good, is it? Okay. So that's another one. What do you think he is? Why do you think that? The aeroplanes are a clue, aren't they? They give it away, don't they? The aeroplanes, yes. And he's got his visor on so he can see at night and all sorts of other things. He's dressed for the job. And what might they be? They're the Navy, yes. They've got their uniforms on, they're all marching, they've got their hats. If we could only see it, we could tell which level of seniority they had in the Navy. So we can tell who these people are from their uniforms. And they're dressed appropriately for a job. And each of them is very proud to be wearing that uniform because it gives them a place. It makes them significant people. And we're thinking this morning from that passage in 1 Peter chapter 2 about the fact that we, as God's people, are his priests. Now, in the Old Testament, if you were a priest, you were dressed properly. You can't see all the details, but that's how you would have been dressed. Very smart. You see, some of the ladies quite fancy his frock. And there he is. He's got his censer for the incense. He's got a special hat. He's got a special tunic. And on the tunic, over the breastplate, were 12 jewels. And each of those stood for one of the tribes of Israel. Because as the priests of God, they were supposed to carry and pray for the whole of the nation of Israel. So they had a big responsibility. But you've got to remember that when they were dressed like that, everybody around them wasn't smart like you all are. A lot of them would be wearing very tatty clothes, mended, dull. But the priest, the high priest, stood out because they were very important people in God's plan. And we are very important people in God's plan, because we are all called to be his people, his priests. I still don't know which one gets this to work. That one. And here's a few things that we could say about the priests. They were distinct and special. That's why they had that glorious, expensive uniform. We've looked at their dress. They also had privileges. If you were a part of the royal priesthood, you would have access to the king. You could go and talk to the king. He would come to you for advice. He would ask you to pray for different things. You had access to God, because that's what it meant to be a priest, that you were appointed by God to do things for God, to stand in God's holy presence without being destroyed by it, and to speak to God. And you had access to the people. The people would come to you. You were very important to them, because the things you did opened up their way to God. You were the one who ensured that God's judgment didn't fall on you as a nation and destroy you. As a priest in the Old Testament, especially a member of the royal priesthood, you were a very important person. And what I really want to say to you all at the moment is each of us is called by God to be his priests. And that makes each of you very important to God, very special in God's sight. We have a very important job to do. They had responsibilities. They were the ones who offered the sacrifices. They prayed. People came to them for guidance. And they were the ones who led the worship in the sanctuary, in the temple, wherever it might be. Now, of course, we don't have a physical temple. That was destroyed in AD 70. And we are not a priest like they were priests, because this passage says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus." That's 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. We are not like the Old Testament priesthood, serving in a temple, dealing with animal sacrifices and cereal sacrifices and wine sacrifices and incense and all of that stuff. No. But we are equally important. We have a vital role to play in God's kingdom, in God's providence. You are needed by God because he's appointed you. Now, if you were a priest in the Old Testament, you couldn't just sort of say, "Oh, I'd like to be a priest, please," and go off and get some training and become a minister or something like that. No, you couldn't. It didn't work like that. You had to be born into the right family. You had to belong to the house of Aaron or the Levites if you were going to be a priest. You couldn't choose it. King David couldn't say, "Right, now I'm king, I'm going to be a priest," because he was not of the right tribe. And as a priest, you got lots of benefits. The tithes were brought to you, and part of that tithe was to look after you, to look after you physically throughout the year. But the point is, you can't be a priest because you choose to be. You had to be born into the right family. But that too has changed. Isn't it wonderful? Peter says, "But to those who believe." And right at the beginning of his letter, he says, "To God's elect, strangers in the world, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. You see, the way we all become priests is not by having the right family or learning the right things. It's because we've come to faith in Jesus Christ. Because we've said, Lord, I know that my relationship with you is broken. I know that deep within me there is a stream of sin that destroys who I was really meant to be. I'm alienated from you, that word that Doug used, which means separated and at enmity with you. But through Jesus, through saying, I'm sorry, I want to put my trust in you because Jesus has died for me. Through that, each of us not only becomes believers, we become part of God's priesthood. So what are we meant to do as God's priests? That's more pictures to show how wonderful they were. Well, the first thing I've got to talk about is the fact that we are meant to be a praising priesthood. We are meant to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. I wish you'd all got your Bibles, but you haven't. So if I turn to 1 Chronicles 16, at any rate, here David has arranged for the Ark of God to be brought into the tent he set aside, and then he asks the priests to lead the praise, and they say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Doug talked about the fact that some of the songs we sing to ourselves, some of the songs we sing to one another, some of the songs we sing to God. But this tells us there's another dimension to our praise. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts, make known among the nations what he has done. We are meant to be a people whose voice goes across the world. But of course, it begins in Jerusalem, as Jesus said. Then it goes to Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the world. The praise of God needs to echo around the world, and we are called as his priests to tell others the amazing things that he's done. I did wonder whether I should sort of get one of these scratch choirs together and turn you all into the Hallelujah chorus. But I don't have those gifts. You might be great, but I don't have that gift to do that. But of course, it's not just by our singing that we're meant to tell the nations of the great things that God has done. No, not at all. We're to declare what he's done, but also what he's like, because it goes on to say, the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. He remembered his covenant, and so on and so forth. When they were few in number, few indeed, and strangers to it, he looked after them. We're meant to tell people what God has done for us, but also what he's like. But there's more to it than that. That same psalm, as the ark was brought in, says not just tell them, but call them to join this praise. That's what we have to do. And in the end, we're called to get the whole of creation praising God. So the whole universe becomes God's cathedral, so that the whole earth is full of his glory. How on earth can we do that? That's what we've got to do. How can we do it? That's what it means to be a praising people. How is this community of God's people singing about it? That's not good enough. There has to be energy. There has to be attractiveness. There has to be life in the way we communicate the reality of what God does for us and for the whole world. How can we do it? Well, partly it's we have to get dressed properly. It's not the robes we wear. It's not whether you've got the right shirt on, or perhaps I'm the only one wearing a tie. Sorry about that. Shall I take it off? That's not the point. I love that song which says, in royal robes we don't deserve, we live to serve His Majesty. That's a lovely song, isn't it? And that reminds us that our dress is not the linen and the blue and the band across the head, not even the 12 jewels to remind us of the 12 tribes of Israel on our breastplate. What we need, if we are truly going to represent God in our world, is to be dressed right. And Paul tells us what that dress should look like. Colossians chapter 3 is where you'll find it. And he says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. Now, compassion is a generous heartedness, isn't it? It's the ability to understand and sense what other people are going through. Compassion avoids criticizing others. It doesn't look around and think, oh, you're not very good. You're not doing very much. Why aren't you more cheerful? Compassion understands. But it also wants to do something about it to help people. Clothe yourselves with compassion. Have you got compassion? Ask God for it. Clothe yourselves with kindness. Not the greatest virtue in the world, most people think, but what a difference it makes. I don't know whether you saw what was going on in front of me. I don't think it was my fault, but little boy got the cup of wine and it broke in his hands. Now, the two good ladies sitting beside him could have gone, you naughty boy. What are you doing that for? But they didn't. Somebody offered him a wipe. Somebody helped him. They were kind. They were dressed properly to be the high priest of God. With gentleness and patience. When I'm driving, I love it when people are patient with me. I was trying to park and there was a van behind me and he didn't hoot me. He was patient with me. That was great. You get in my way when I'm driving. And but I'm wrong. We should be clothed with gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Did somebody get in front of you when you were trying to get your cup of tea or coffee this morning? Did you feel irritable with them? Did they push in a grievance? But we're to forgive one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Are we dressed properly to be the praising people of God? You know, even if we were dressed with compassion and kindness and gentleness and patience, when we go from here, if we carry on wearing those qualities, if our whole lives are lived out of those wonderfully rich and Christ-like attributes, we, by just being there for other people, by the way we look at them, the way we just kind of understand them and communicate that, we shall be a people who are God's priests praising Him, because we shall be declaring the God as He is, because that's how Jesus was. You know, when somebody drops something in the supermarket and you bend down and help them pick up that pound coin and don't put it in your pocket but give it back to them, you're declaring the praise of God. You're showing the generosity of God. Even in those small things, we can be God's people. And God uses those, even those tiny things, to open up other people's hearts, to show them something of who Jesus is. A few years ago, there was a book written which was called Kindness Evangelism, just doing things so God can stop people in their tracks and say, why? Why were they different? And God can use those gifts as part of our praise to him. But it goes on to say, and over all these, over compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience and forgiveness, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Praising him, you see, a people of his praise. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I was with an ex-colleague from Bible Society who goes to many, many countries, and he said how he loves to go to Africa, especially East Africa, because he said everything that happens there they give thanks to God for. Everything. Even if they're just going to have a cup of water, they'll give thanks to God for it. If they're getting on a bus, they'll give thanks to God for it. Now, that can become ritualistic. It can just become a habit. But we need to be a people, if we're going to declare his praises among the nations, who carry that deep, deep sense of gratitude to God for all his goodness to us. I have to say, when I picked up my comb and combed my wonderfully brown hair, I didn't think to give thanks to God for a comb. But actually, I wouldn't look half as good without it. And I could do with improving now, couldn't I? But you see what I mean. Let's learn to become a people who at every step, every breath we take, are saying thank you to God. In our hearts, if not on our lips. Let's become a thankful people. Because we're meant to be a praising people who are dressed in royal robes, the very robes of Jesus himself. But we're not only called to be a royal priesthood, we're called to be a loyal priesthood. Now, you might think that's a bit strange to say, but we're meant to be a holy priesthood. And we can misunderstand the word holy, because what it really means is dedicated, and in this case, dedicated to God. The reason the priests were given a tithe and didn't have to go and work in the fields and sow the crops and harvest them or go and look after the sheep or use their hands to make furniture, whatever it was. They didn't have to do that because they were meant to be always available for God. They were meant to be alert to God at all times, not worried about day-to-day things that they had to handle. They were meant to be pure, so they have to go through lots and lots of strange rituals to keep themselves pure. They were meant to be consecrated. They meant in their minds and to be recognized by the robes they wore as people who were set aside for God, different, distinct. They had to be courageous sometimes because it was a risky job dealing with the gap between men and God. And they were committed people. They had to live their lives with total dedication. Holy priests meant loyal priests, loyal to God and God alone. He had to matter more than their families. He had to matter more than their homes. He had to matter more than other people, but for those other people's sake. And if we're going to be a praising people, we need to be a loyal people. And how much of your life is God's? Take my life. And let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And as you approach this great anniversary, I want you to be a people who at 60, even if you're only 25, are looking good. Looking good for God because you're dressed the right way and your hearts and your whole lives are dedicated to God. You're a royal priesthood and a loyal priesthood, ready to sing the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That might be the last one, I don't know. Let's make it the last one anyway. And I thought, just as we round this up, that it would be a good thing if we each had the opportunity to think of something we're thankful to God for. So I'd like you to do that. It may be a very small thing that you were able to get dressed and come to church. It may be you think, oh, I'm so glad the kettle boiled and I could have a cup of tea. Thank you, Lord. It may be what we might consider a big thing, that we could take that bread and wine and know that Jesus had died for us and had risen again for us. But what are you thankful to God for? And then I'd like as many as possible to say thank you, God, so that we can declare to one another and learn to live for Him as people who bring His praise to others. So just for a minute, I invite you to, very briefly, speak out the things for which you are grateful to God. Lord, by the power of Your Spirit, free us to be a people, a priesthood, who are full of Your praise. Amen. So, Lord, help us to sort of just drink in that spirit of praise that's been expressed to You, so that when we go from here, deep in our hearts there is that well of thanksgiving, and that our lives are clothed with the priest's garments of compassion and kindness and patience and gentleness and forgiveness and peace and thanksgiving. Lord, I pray for these people who I love dearly in Christ, for whom I thank You that I've had the privilege of journeying with them and seeing them go on with You for many, many years. Lord, as I thank You for them, I pray that more and more within these walls, that wherever they are, they will become Your priesthood, a praising priesthood, knowing they are royalty, wonderfully dressed and released through every aspect of their lives, their words, their looks, their attitudes, their deeds, to declare Your praise among the nations. Lord, bless them. In the name of Jesus, release them in the name of Jesus and the power of Your Spirit to be a praising priesthood. Amen.